Our musical comedy theater audience tonight is going to see that best loved of all musical comedies, The Belle of New York. Some heads will be wagging and feet tapping to the fond familiar tunes. And now, in those last few flurried moments before the show begins, the lights dim. The ushers draw the portieres, the house quietens, the conductor takes his stand. Quiet, please. Enough, and what do we see? Young Mr. Harry Bronson's elaborate mansion in Riverside Drive, New York. Ornaments rare and costly adorn the apartment, but the rarest and costliest is Cora Angelique, queen of the comic opera, who makes a flamboyant entrance in company with Pansy Pins, Doc Sniffkins, Count Ratsy Ratatatoo, Count Patsy Ratatatoo, six bridesmaids, and here's where you get out the opera glasses, gentlemen, the ladies of the chorus. And without so much as, "Hello, Harry, I believe we're getting married today," Cora Angelique bursts into tuneful reminiscence.
When I was born, the stars stood still and blinked their eyes with wonder. The man in the moon said, "Holly gee," and his wife said, "Well, by thunder." For they could see that I was a kid, though I'd ne'er believe a fable. I was bound to become a dinosaur. Oh, the beautiful Betty Grable. And now I am the pit, you bet, of banker's brewers and all that set the idol of the little boys that sit up in the gallery. When in my diamonds I appear, I look like a beautiful chandelier. Henry Ford would fall down dead if he had to pay my salary.
Well, she is the pet you bear, but bankers, brothers, and all that's there. The idol of the wealth of boys to set up in the gallery.
When in my diamonds I appear, I look like a beautiful chandelier. And Henry Ford would fall down dead if he had to pay my salary.
Harry Bronson is a gay young blade, fond of the drink, and apparently his proposal of marriage to Cora was the kind of slip that comes between the cup and the lip. But here's the chef, Mr. Fricot, wheeling in a mammoth wedding cake with a figure of a girl posed on top of it. Oh, look! One look, and Harry doesn't want Cora anymore. He wants a piece of that cake. Like Pygmalion, he tries to bring that figure of frosted sugar to life. Pygmalion wanted to teach his statue how to speak. But Harry's candy girl says, "Teach me how to kiss."
To be a toy or the bold egg boy, I really do think I should like it. To sit and kiss is a style of bliss that ought to be nice when you sight it. I am shy just now, and I wouldn't know how to love like a fine-hearted lady. But I surmise that I might grow wise if you wooed me in looks that were shady. Oh, teach me to kiss, dear. Teach me to squeeze. Teach me to sit upon your sympathetic knees. Teach me to coo, dear, like a turtle dove. Teach very new, but I say to you that my newness is ready to wear off. Of course I'm good, or the same I would, with a proper young gentleman pair of. I think that I, in the by and by, at kissing I prove very handy, though incomplete, I ought to be sweet. For you know that I made out of candy. Oh, teach me how to kiss, dear. Teach me how to squeeze. Teach me how to silk upon your sympathetic knees. Teach me
And while Harry is indulging his sweet tooth with this fascinating piece of confectionery, word comes that his straight-laced father, Ichabod Bronson, is on his way. Ichabod is the leader of the Young Men's Reform League and Anti-Cigarette Society. Cigarettes, says Ichabod, are sinful. They're worse than sinful, says Harry. They're unobtainable. Drums and cymbals, listen to them. What am I going to do, says Harry? They're coming here. With great presence of mind, he exits upright with the girl on the cake and clears the stage for the triumphal entry of the Rescue League.
From far coves, where the hop vine grows, and the youth of the town are prone to dissipation, this faithful band, under my command, has embarked on a tour of moral agitation. Without a pause, we shall spread our cause from the Hudson shore to the distant Bay of Biscay. The world we'll purge of the deadly scourge of the cold highball and the cocktail made of whiskey. For in the field of moral endeavor, no competitor can shake a stick at us. In the game of reform, there never, no never were reformers that were so felicitous. Our virtues continue to strike us. There's qualities magnificent to see. Of course, you can never be like us, but be as like us as you're able to be. Of course, you can never be like us, but be as like us as you're able to be. For in the field of moral endeavor, no competitor can shake a stick at us. In the game of reform, there never, no never were reformers that was openness it us. Our virtues continue to strike us as qualities magnificent to see. Of course, you can never be like us, but be as like us as you're able to be. Of course, you can never be like us, but be as like us as you're able to be.
Moore is angered to find his son having such a good time with the fast and loose set, and cuts him off without so much as an ounce of pipe tobacco. At this, Harry's stylish friends leave him with almost indecent haste, and he is left to console himself with Fifi Fricot, the girl on the cake, who has the kind of French accent you hear nowhere except on the stage of a musical comedy theater. And to Fifi, he expounds his philosophy as to the virtues of wine, women, and song.
Where you stray, the wide world through, you'll find today this maxim true. Who loves not woman, wine, and song, remains a fool his whole life long. 'Twas thus that Martin Luther sang, as Dr. Martin Luther sang, who loves not woman, wine, and song, remains a fool his whole life long. Wine, women, and song, wine, woman, and song, is writ on the pages of life for the ages that love for them ne'er is wrong. Nights turn into day, winter change into May, the world is all right, the man is in light by wine, women, and song. The world is made bright, the heart is made light by wine, women, and song.
And here the stage is dressed for the big tableau. Housemaids, bridesmaids, chorus ladies form up on one side, representing the seven deadly sins. The rescue leaguers stand on the other, representing the seven equally deadly virtues. At the mention of wine, the leaguers swoon with horror, and that's the cue for blackout. The call boy knocks on Fifi Fricot's dressing room door. On stage, Miss Fricot, he says. And Miss Fricot, hastily adjusting her can-can skirt and her intriguing accent, dances out onto the stage to sing a naughty little French song.
The American girls, she walks like this in an haughty manner. The lady from France, she walks like this in a naughty manner. Now, which do you like the best, monsieur? Now, which do you like to see? The haughty, proud American girl, or the lady from Gay Paris? Oh, la belle Parisienne, she do catch her on the men with the naughty little wheel she out for walking. When they cross the street she go, she will lift her skirt just so. Oh, no wonder that she sets the gossip stalking. The American girl, she dance like this in a haughty manner. The lady from France, she dance like this in a naughty manner. Now which do you like the best, monsieur? Now which do you like to see? The haughty, proud American girl, or the lady from Gay Paris? Oh, la belle Parisienne, she do catch on all the men with the naughty little wheel she ever dancing. When around the room she go, she will kick her skirt just so. And the little kick, it makes the dance entrancing.
Harry decides to go places with the little French girl and takes her out to buy her a Chinese dinner, which gives an international flavor to the proceedings and also a change of scene. We are now in New York's colorful Chinatown. Chinese New Year's Eve is being celebrated colorfully with gay lanterns, flags, and banners. Bowery toughs, rubberneckers, and Chinese laundrymen, bearing a striking resemblance to the anti-cigarette boys of the previous scene, caper in the streets. And here, Harry sees for the first time Violet Gray, the pretty Salvation Army girl whom everyone follows.
Difficult to make young men religious in saving youth from wickedness. The labor is prodigious when I ask them to be good, as all good men should be. They only say they would be very good to me. I ask they never proceed to follow that light, but always follow me.
It is not surprising that Harry Bronson should fall in love with Violet Gray at first sight, for everyone on the East Side loves this charming Salvation Army lassie. The Belle of New York, they call her. And from Blinky Bill, a typical Bowery character, we hear her story when he tells his girl, Mamie Clancy, the story of the Belle of New York.
There's a great little girl in a queer little gown who's the pride of the Salvation Army. And when she appears in this part of the town, why, she sets the whole neighborhood barney. She's got a blue eye that is bright as the sky, that is smiling so tender above her. And the boys and the girls couldn't tell you just why, but there isn't a one that don't love her. For she is the Belle of New York, the subject of all the town talk. She makes the old Bowery fragrant and flowery when she goes out for a walk. She's soft as a snowy white dove. She's simply created to love. The fellows all sigh for her. They would all die for her. She is the Belle of New York.
Perhaps it's best that I should acquiesce. I would thus gain time to think and save a lot of time. If I can help this youth, perhaps he'll bless the memory of the girl he knew as the Belle of New York. It will be the Belle of New York, and the simple little shy Salvation Army girl may save my whole town folk. Oh, my poor stupid little head, it is a dread. Oh, well, they call me the Belle of New York. They save my whole town folk, and I am the Salvation Army girl. I've tried to gain a reputation as the
time we meet Harry Bronson. He is working as a soda jerker in Smiler's Candy Store on Broadway. Disowned by his father, shunned by his friends, he still has the devotion of little Fifi, who tries to win him over with a blissful picture of what married life would be like.
When we
I can be to you. I will be tender, and I will be true. When I am married, sweetheart, to you.
Love is not all dear that poets may say. Often it lasts but a year and a day. Often the day love without any year. Love is not all it's cracked up to be dear.
I only know love what our love will be. I will love you, love, and you will love me. Not for a year, love, and not for a day. I will love you, love, forever and day. When we are married,
why, what will you do?
I'll be as sweet as I can be to you.
Violet Grey is determined to have Harry morally and financially, and she propounds to him a daring scheme for restoring him to his rights and his father's favor. But will it succeed? At Narragansett Pier, a lawn party in honor of caller Angelique is in progress. The entire cast is present when... What's this? The notorious Madame Bonvouche arrives in an equally notorious costume. Ichabod Bronson recognizes her and stands horror-stricken. It is... Violet Grey.
Violet Grey!
She faints. Harry rushes forward and takes her in his arms. But her plot has failed, for no one will believe that she is a wicked woman. Ichabod is only too happy to have his son married to Violet Grey, and the curtain rings down with a promise of wedding bells.